Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm John Batchelor, Ambassador Hussein Haqqani, now at the Hudson Institute, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, and Bill Rajo, Senior Fellow, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, watching the provocations that logic suggests are directed by Tehran. These are the Shia militia who operate freely in and out of Syria, in and out of Iraq, and have for some time. They are a subset of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards Corps' ability to push buttons and have things happen. Bill, you've talked about this in detail several days past, and you mentioned four new incidents over these last days. The question I have is the other side. What does our deployment look like out there? I noted that one contractor was said to be dead of a heart attack and during an attack. Have we got adequate military deployment out there? Does it look like they've built a redoubt or a fortress? Because I understand they were out there for ISIS, which would be a completely different threat profile than the Shia militia.
Exactly, John. I am very concerned about the makeup of the security forces. The answer is we don't really know, but anecdotally, we've seen reports in the press that some of these bases are very small. It's small teams of special forces, maybe 50 to 100 people in some of these bases. They rely on security primarily from local security forces in Syria. That might be groups like the Kurds, who are part of PKK. They're just rebranded as something ironically called the Syrian Democratic Forces, but elsewhere by some Sunni militias, Sunni tribesmen, that's further south in eastern Syria. And in Iraq, they're guarded largely by Iraqi security forces, which frankly are riddled with by the Shia militias. The militias have their own security forces themselves, which are, by the way, legitimate arms of the Iraqi security forces called the Popular Mobilization Forces, or sometimes called Popular Mobilization Units. But the Iraqi security forces, which is a largely Shia makeup, they're providing security in places like Ain al-Sad Air Base, which is in Anbar province. They might have a larger number of American troops, but their mission there is a support mission. It isn't a combat mission. My estimation, you know, understanding how all this works, each of these bases should have at least a battalion of American infantry there. That's about 800 to 1,000 troops. These are combat troops, right? And they need their own artillery. They need their own air. They need their own intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance in order to protect themselves adequately. If these militias decide to organize and put together an assault team of 7,000, which they could easily do. Right now, these attacks have just been done with drones, rockets, mortars, things like that. But if they actually decided to launch a ground assault, we could be talking about a small U.S. base getting overrun and dozens of American soldiers dead. And then we really have the threat of this war spiraling out of control with U.S. involvement. The U.S. would be forced to respond in that instance, or be forced to withdraw the rest of its forces. And neither of those are good for what's happening right now in the Middle East.
Mr. Ambassador, a news item that puzzled me, and I wanted to attend to it, your measure. Pakistan's government plans to deport 1.4 million Afghan nationals after November 1st. The United Nations is calling for the country to hold off to avoid human rights violations. I presume that these are Afghans who are living inside Pakistan since the conflict in Afghanistan turned to the Taliban. Do we know any more about this plan? 1.4 million is a lot of people to round up and move to the border.
We must remember that Pakistan has had Afghan refugees going back to the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. It is out of Pakistan that the Mujahideen operated in Afghanistan, and the Mujahideen were recruited from refugee camps in Pakistan. Pakistan did the same for the Taliban for years. Now, under pressure and economic pressure, political pressure, and the fact that the Taliban are not listening to the Pakistani authorities as much as they had wanted them to, Pakistan is actually targeting these very vulnerable, or some of the most vulnerable, Afghan refugees. It's not going to be easy. It is going to create a problem. Eventually, there will have to be some kind of a deal between Pakistan and the Taliban over this. And if there isn't, there would have to be some international assistance. But right now, look, the world is in a semi-chaotic state. And so therefore, people think, if things are not in control of Israel, if they're not in control of the United States, nobody's in charge of the world, let's do many things that would otherwise have been unlikely to even contemplate some time ago. So the UN is issuing statements, but there's nothing that is going to happen on the basis of those statements. And so will some poor Afghan refugees in Pakistan suffer? Unfortunately, yes. Will Pakistan be able to move all Afghan migrants in Pakistan into Afghanistan? No, I don't think so.
Mr. Ambassador, a puzzle about the plans here. Does this favor we are in a political contest here. There's an election due in January. Does this favor one candidate or another to deport 1 million Afghans?
I think that what it does is it takes attention away from other issues and makes the Afghans the other. You know, because people need to hate somebody. People need to say, yes, our problems are because of so and so. And so I think that especially in the Punjab, which is the country's most populous region, which is where the real political contest is going to be between supporters of Imran Khan and supporters of Nawaz Sharif, I think that this is a new sort of, this is like throwing a little bone in the middle of a dogfight so that this becomes the issue. That's what it is about. It's not about favoring one or the other, but actually to change the political issue and the discussion.
And does the army have the circumstances to deport 1 million people?
One would think that, at a time when they have to worry about patrolling the border, ensuring that the India-Pakistan border remains secure, internal situation, the fact that they are already trying to influence the political outcome inside Pakistan, you would think that they wouldn't have the means. So I don't know if this is really backed by means or is it just a half-hearted attempt to do something.
Hussain Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now at the Hudson Institute. Bill Rajah, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. One more detail, Bill, on Africa. Have we seen any increased activity by the Al-Qaeda ISIS crowd pointing to the Middle East? We have 30 seconds.
No, John, we haven't really seen much at all. After the initial wave of statements about a week plus ago, in the first week and a half of the war, but really haven't seen anything else. Okay. They're back to local business.
Bill Rajo, Hussain Haqqani, I'm John Mack.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.